So thankful for the presence of each one tonight. Obviously, you have several who are out, some possibly because of illness, others we know that are traveling, and others maybe just scared off by weather reports. I don't know. The National Weather Service has to keep its self covered, you know, because if there's any possibility at all that the roads might be treacherous, they have to tell you. Otherwise, somebody will try to sue them for saying, you didn't warn me that the roads were going to be slick. So just stick your head out the window. You probably have a better idea what's going on than listening to the media. I want to talk to you tonight about some things that a Christian has in Christ. And only Christians have these things because they are in Christ. Certainly, we have all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Quite clearly, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Well, what if I'm not in Christ? Then I don't have access to those spiritual blessings, do I? Galatians 3 and verse 27 tells us, as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If all spiritual blessings are in Christ, then I need to know how to get in Christ. And here very clearly we're told that we are baptized into Christ. Along with that, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So those who are in Christ Jesus walk according to the Spirit. What does that mean? It means they walk in accordance to as the Spirit has given them the direction to walk, as the Spirit has revealed that we are to walk in the Word of God. Those who are in Christ Jesus are there because they have heard the words of the Spirit as to how to get into Christ, and they continue to walk in the way that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us in the Word of God. One of those spiritual blessings, of course, is hope. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God, our Father. Certainly, we could talk about the fact that the Thessalonians were working in faith. They were laboring out of love. But I want to emphasize tonight the fact that their patience of hope was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about the fact that if you are not, or if one is not in Jesus Christ, they have no hope? So when we talk about walking according to the Spirit, it becomes very important, doesn't it? When we talk about being baptized into Christ and having access to all spiritual blessings, including hope, we begin to see how serious of a matter this is. I suppose if you were to ask most people today, I would hope anyway, if they wanted to go to heaven, they would say, yes, I do want to go to heaven. Are you going to heaven? Well, they might respond, well, I hope so. Well, what do you base that hope upon? And to that, you would get several different answers. Let me tell you something. The one answer that is supreme above all is, I hope to go to heaven because I am in Christ Jesus. I have been baptized into Christ. I live according to the doctrine of Christ. I practice the doctrine of Christ as revealed in the Scriptures. Therefore, I have a valid hope of eternal life. I have a valid hope that is in Christ Jesus. And it is, of course, as Paul was saying here of the Thessalonians, he talks about their patience of hope. You know, the fact that we hope to go to heaven means that we're not in heaven. We might not be in heaven for many years from now. But we patiently labor in the faith, out of love, because we have embraced this hope that is promised to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. You ever thought about the fact that hell is a place of no hope? We know that hell is a place of outer darkness. It's a place of torment. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. But hell is a place of no hope. You might say that earth is neither heaven nor hell, but it gives us a glimpse of each. In this life and on the earth, we have our good times and our bad times. And even in the midst of our bad times, I don't know if you ever saw some of the jackets that some of our Vietnam veterans were wearing after they returned from Vietnam. They said, "When I go to heaven, when I die, I'll go to heaven because I've already been to hell." Speaking of their time in Vietnam. But hell is much worse than war in Vietnam or any other war. So, you know, the whole time that you're in battle and in war, you're hoping that you're going to get out of that battle. You're hoping that this war is going to be over. You're hoping that you're going to go home. And many do. On earth, we might experience the worst time in our life. And it might seem like we're tormented, like we're in hell. But we have a hope of getting out of that and getting better. We might be in extreme pain. But we're looking forward to the time that we're going to be out of that pain. And usually, we experience relief from pain. We experience physical relief. We experience mental relief. We experience emotional relief. We experience financial relief. We experience relief from our torments that we experience here on earth. And as we're going through those various different kinds of torments, we have hope that we'll get out of that torment. But hell is a place where there is no hope. There is no hope of relief from the torment of that eternal abode of the disobedient who've rejected the price that was paid on their behalf to live to gratify the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. There's no hope for relief from that eternal knowledge as well. Hope is in Christ. If you want to escape the torments of hell, you have to be in Christ. And the time to do that is now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the opportunity to be found in Him and to embrace this hope. Another spiritual blessing that we have in Christ is that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. We noticed a little bit ago this passage, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, and we emphasize the fact that those who are in Christ Jesus walk according to the Spirit. But notice now also that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That those who are in Christ are not to be condemned, are not condemned by God. They are walking according to the Spirit. It's not just that they have been baptized into Christ, and once saved, always saved. No, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ because they are continuing to walk according to the Spirit. That what got them into Christ is what keeps them in Christ and keeps them in fellowship with Christ. There is forgiveness in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says, in him we have redemption. We've been bought back, been bought out of our sin, and been bought into a relationship with him. There is redemption through his blood. In him we have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That was such an important point for Paul to make to the Ephesians that he felt like it was absolutely necessary to make the same point to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, we read, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What if I'm not in him? I'm not redeemed. I do not have the forgiveness of my sins. My sins have separated me from God. But in him, I have the forgiveness of sins. In him, we have salvation. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10 says, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What if I'm not in Christ? What if I haven't heard and believed and obeyed the gospel of Christ, been baptized into Christ, continued to walk in the Spirit in accordance to the Word of God? I'm not in Christ. I'm not in a relationship with Christ. Do I have salvation? Salvation is in Christ. I might want to be saved, but if I want to be saved, I need to be in Christ. Many people talk about, well, we're saved by the grace of God, and indeed we are saved by the grace of God. That God wasn't, we didn't obligate God by anything we have done for that obligated him to save us. It was an unmerited favor. It's because of his character of love and mercy and grace that he has provided salvation for us. Indeed, we are saved by grace in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. He made the way for us to find the forgiveness of our sins and the pathway of righteousness. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, it says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This grace is in Christ Jesus. It's not in the Mosaic law. It's not in the Talmud. It's not in the other religious books of that are available to us throughout the world. It's not in the Quran. It's not in Muhammad. Grace is in Christ Jesus. And if we're not in Christ Jesus, we don't have access to his grace. We don't know about his grace. We don't appreciate his grace. In Christ, we are light. In Ephesians 5 and verse 8, Paul says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This is one of the first points that Jesus made in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. Well, how can that be? How can I be the light of the world? Was he talking about all by yourself, you're the light of the world? Certainly not. A little bit later, he would explain that he was the light of the world. Well, obviously, if he is the light of the world, and if we are the light of the world, if I am the light of the world, then I have to be reflecting his light in my life. And so that, as Paul said to the Ephesians here, you are light in the Lord. If you are in the Lord, if you are walking in the Spirit, according to the Word of the Lord, then you are displaying the light of truth and righteousness in your walk of life. We can only be light, true light, if we are in the Lord. Not merely baptized into Christ, but continuing to walk and live in the Lord and by the direction of the Lord from His Word. The answer to prayer is found in Christ. 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Well, what if I don't know what His will is? I know what my will is. I know what I want God to do for me. But is that consistent with the will of God? And somebody might say, well, how do I know what the will of God is? It's right here. God tells us what His will is. We can know whether our will is in agreement with the will of God. And we can also know that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We are in Him, if you will. We are in His will. And we know He wants His will to be accomplished here on earth. Isn't that what He taught us to pray for? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how do those beings in heaven know how to perform the will of God? He tells them. And He's told us what His will is. Jesus wasn't just praying that God would force His will upon the people of this earth. That is a prayer of humility. It is a prayer of subjection. When you're saying, Lord God, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, He was saying it with the understanding that in order for God's will to be done on earth, it needs to begin with me doing the will of God. That I'm going to do the will of God. That I'm going to honor God. That I'm going to humble myself before God. And I'm going to do His will. I'm going to live for Him and live to His glory. That's what's entailed in all of that. Thy will be done on earth. His will can only be done on earth if you and I choose to do it and teach others to do it, because that's His will, that all come to a knowledge of the truth. And that the only way that's going to happen is if you and I share what we know with others. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we have this assurance if we are found in Him. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." We cannot practice evil. We cannot ask God to support us in the practice of evil and expect that He's going to hear us. We cannot ask for selfish things and expect God is going to hear us and answer our prayers. Things that we ask for are to be used to His praise and His honor and His glory. Whether it be our health, whether it be our finances, whether it be our possessions, whether it be our relationships, use those things to the glory of God. Ask God to help you in those things that He might be glorified, and He will hear you. Peace is a spiritual blessing that's found in Christ. And Jesus said, John 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If I am in Christ, there's nothing for me to be afraid of. It doesn't matter what man might say about me or do to me. It doesn't matter what state of health I might be in. It doesn't matter what state my finances might be in. It doesn't matter what state the world political scene is in. If I'm in Christ, I have every reason to be at peace, because that's all really that matters. 1 Peter 5 and verse 14 to explain, "Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus." Now there, I know, you know, that Peter is petitioning God on their behalf for them to be at peace and for them to realize this peace because they are in Christ. But the point remains the same, that the only way that we are going to experience this peace that passes all understanding is if we are truly in Christ. Not merely baptized into Christ, but continuing to live in Christ. The blessing of victory over sin, over death, the wages of sin, that blessing is found in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 54 and 57 says, when this corruptible is put on incorruption, when we die, when this physical body is changed from a corruptible body to an incorruptible body, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? You cannot hold me. The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, there is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. You will be victorious in all things. In your walk with Christ, as you continue to press on towards the high calling of God, you will be victorious in that. Your light will continue to be trimmed and you'll shine brighter. You'll change continually from being carnally minded to be participating in the divine nature. You will be victorious in your walk with God, to His praise and to His glory. Certainly, our hope of eternal life is realized in Christ. In 1 John 5 and verse 11, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's not in Muhammad, it's not in Buddha, it's not in Taoism, it's not in all of those world religions. It's not in a spaceship coming from another galaxy far, far away. This life, this eternal life that we hope to participate in is in His Son. The Christian has all of these wonderful things. One who follows Christ and walks in the Spirit has a valid hope of eternal life. It's not an empty hope of, well, I hope so. Yes, I do have a hope of eternal life because I'm in Christ Jesus. He's paid the price of redemption, and I've given Him my sin. I've turned from my life to walk with Him in the path of righteousness. Therefore, I don't have to worry about condemnation because I am in Christ Jesus. I have a valid hope of forgiveness of my sins. I hope my sins are forgiven. I know my sins are forgiven because God said so in His Word. I know I have salvation. I know I abide in His grace. I know I am the light of the world as He created me to be. And not just me, but everyone. That's His intention for everyone. I know that He hears and answers my prayers as long as I pray in accordance with His will and not for my selfish desires. I know that I'm at peace with Him. I'm not an enemy of God, but I'm at peace with God. I'm an ally with God. And I have the victory. And although I might even experience physical death. That won't be the end. That will merely be the doorway into an everlasting beginning of eternal life. But on the other hand, the sinner has their sin. They participate in the pleasure of their sin. They look forward to participating in it again and again and again. But their sin separates them from all of these wonderful things. Any hope of eternal life, any chance of salvation, any hope of dwelling with God forever and ever. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of Christ and salvation and to walk with Him and be in fellowship with Him. In Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. As many of you as have been, for our purposes tonight, been baptized into Christ, have access to all of these spiritual blessings. And if you haven't been baptized into Christ, if you're not continuing to walk with Him in this way of Christ, we don't have any of these blessings. No hope of embracing any of these blessings. As was said in Acts 22 and verse 16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. If you're here tonight and you wish to escape from your sin and from the torment of hell and to embrace the hope of heaven and the victory with Christ, we'd encourage you to come and claim that which Christ has secured for you. Give your life to Him and live to His glory. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God, out of favor with God and need to make things right with Him, you realize you've let go of some of these blessings that we have in Him and you want to reclaim them, let us pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation in any way at all, please come as we stand and sing this song.